of you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, and our only Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, let's begin with a couple of important facts to remember as we grow older, before we get into the theme and topic for the day. Good health is merely the slowest possible rate at which you can die. Give a person a fish and you feed them for a day. Teach a person to use the internet and they won't bother you for weeks, months, or years. Health nuts are going to feel stupid one day, lying in the hospital, dying of nothing. In the 60s, people took LSD to make the world weird. Now the world is weird and people take Prozac to make it normal. And number one, life is like a jar of jalapeno peppers. What you do today may have a burning issue tomorrow. I guess I'm going for the bottom of the barrel, but this is what's coming to me, so I'm just sharing it with y'all. All right, let's take a little bit of a memory test here. In the previous weeks, we have talked about four of the seven I ams that Jesus stated in the Gospel of John. We started on the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is Good Shepherd Sunday. So we looked at the fact that I am the good shepherd. And then the following week was, I am the bread of life. I am the vine. And then was, I am the bread of life. And then was, I am the light of the world. Then we took a couple of weeks off. And so today we're going to do number five, which is, I am the door. Some Bible translations will say, I am the gate. Me personally, I prefer the door version better. And that kind of cycles us back to the Good Shepherd conversation we had, because when Jesus talks about being the door, he is talking about that in the same conversation and in the same context as saying, I am the Good Shepherd, and all of that's happening in John chapter 10. So what that means is, if we're going to think of this in terms of the pictures that he is painting, Jesus is both the shepherd who leads the sheep and plus he is the door through whom the sheep pass. Now that might seem a little bit impossible to our Western sort of kind of linear chronological minds, but that's not impossible for Jesus. He can be both shepherd and door, because those are just two of the many facets of the diamond that is Jesus our Savior. That is Jesus our Lord. The fancy word for this would be paradox. This is just simply one of those many paradoxical things where two things are true that can seem to be true at the same time, but they are. Doesn't make him contradictory. Doesn't make him incompatible. It just makes them paradoxical, which is sort of basically another way of saying it's beyond our mind's ability to sort of kind of grasp it and make it work. We can't quite make it work, but that doesn't mean there's a problem. It just simply means we can't make it work. He is shepherd and he is door. So, for today then, we're looking at Jesus is the door for the sheep. Since this is a Lutheran church, what's the next thing we're going to say? What does this mean? All right? Yes. And to answer the question of what does this mean, we should really go back to the basics and ask, well, what is the purpose of a door? What is the function of a door? It's simple, right? It's to let something in or out if the door is open, or it's to keep something in or out if the door is closed. So doors, by definition, let or keep people or animals in or out. That's kind of the comprehensive sort of kind of explanation. If we want to break it down a little bit, doors either let people or animals in or out if they're open, or they keep people or animals in or out if they're closed. And that's what Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. This is how he said it. He said, I am the door. All who enter through me will be saved or will be safe. They will come in and they will go out and they will find good pasture. He said that in John chapter 10, verse 9. So there's two things going on in this verse. There's two metaphors, kind of things, two pictures. First of all, Jesus is the door that keeps those inside safe from the danger outside. He keeps danger outside. He protects those who are inside, because those who are inside are his. Those who are inside have his name put upon them. This is very much kind of similar to what a shepherd does. And back in those days, back in the days of Jesus in the Middle East, shepherds kept sheep safe in a sheep pen. You want to say that fast with me real quick? Shepherds kept sheep safe in a sheep pen, which only had one door. There was no fire exit. Okay? It's just either one way in, one way out. Now, what is the pen, what is the sheep pen of 2,000 years ago in the Middle East correspond to in the world today where Jesus keeps his sheep safe? What does that pen correspond to? The church. The church, folks. That's where Jesus keeps those who are inside, who bear his name, safe from the dangers that are outside of the church. And what are the dangers? Where are they from? Where do the dangers come from that are outside of the church? That would be the demonic. That would be the evil. That would be like in Genesis 3. That would be Satan and the lies and the falsehoods and the misplaced faith and the misplaced hope and the misplaced trust. He keeps us safe in the church from all those misleading temptations. And as the door, he not only keeps those who are safe inside, he also lets people in to the safety of the church who are hurting, who are broken, who have given in to temptation foolishly, who are searching, who are questioning. He lets people come into the church like that for their spiritual safety, for their eternal safety. He protects them in the church, and that's what we do also. We don't get to decide who comes into the church or not. He does. We don't get to sort of kind of shoo people out of the church because of some reason. It's not our church. It's his church, right? So here's the door. He opens up and he lets people come in to keep them spiritually, eternally safe, people who are hurting, people who are broken, people who are searching, people who want to believe, people who want to be part of this. So that's the first thing that's going on in that verse. The other thing that's going on in John chapter 10, verse 9, is another metaphor. The one that I just described is kind of a relational metaphor, because it being safe inside the church means being safe within a relationship with him. I'm not talking about being safe within an organization, please. Don't misunderstand me. It's safety within a relationship with him. The other metaphor that's going on here is to use this big word again, is eschatological. Anybody remember what the eschaton is or what eschatology is? Last times, okay? End times, last things. In other words, when the new heavens and the new earth replace the current heavens and earth. So this is also a picture now of heaven. Because in heaven, Jesus is the door that lets us come in and go out and be well fed, or to use his words, to find pasture. Okay, in the Middle East, that's literally what the shepherd did. He led the sheep out to find pasture, brought them back in for safety overnight. On earth, in this world, we can't just simply come and go in and out of the church, belong to it or not belong to it as we please, because there is no pasture outside. There is no good nutrition outside the church. when it comes to spiritual, eternal things. The only thing outside of the church that we can eat is a substitute. It's like having sweet and low instead of sugar, which I guess some people do anyway. But the substitute is not the real thing. It's like having, I don't know, substitute. I'm trying to think of a chocolate analogy. But have you ever had, you know, sugar-free chocolate or some nonsense like that? I can almost handle a white chocolate if it's real. But that's what's out there, except it's a substitute. And some of the things that are outside the church are actually harmful. They're carcinogens. Okay? So we're not talking about coming in and going out on earth, in heaven. We're only about in heaven, okay? On earth, there's nothing good out there, spiritually or eternally. But in heaven, it's all good. We can come and we can go, and Jesus will let us out and he'll let us in, and we can find good pasture. We will be well fed. We will be well provided for. We will be well cared for. We will have the freedom to do that, which we do not have on earth. Because the only safety and protection and good nourishment, good food, good pasture is in the church, in a relationship with Christ, in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ. That's where you get the good stuff, not out there somewhere. So this is a mixed metaphor. One has to do with the relationship, and one has to do with the eschaton, with the end of the world as we know it, and the incorporation of the new heavens and the new earth. All right, so speaking of heaven, since we're talking about heaven right now, another question then that occurs to me is, how big is the door then that leads to heaven? Okay? In other words, how big is Jesus? If he's the door, how big is Jesus? Jesus is the door that leads to the church. He's big enough for all the broken, all the searching, all the hurting, all the injured, all those who are endangered. He's big enough for all of them. But he's not big enough to allow anyone in on their own terms. Okay? People don't want to be members of the church as an organization. We might let them in on their own terms and have, you know, wrestlings and animosities and antagonisms because they're part of the earthly organization of church, but they're not part of the actual body of Christ. You can't be part of the kingdom of God on your own terms. You don't get to dictate what terms you belong to Jesus on. He sets the terms. So then, how big is the door to heaven? If that's how it works in the church, how big is the door to heaven? I think I heard somebody say something about small. Here's what Jesus said. Enter through the narrow door. Wide is the door that leads to destruction. And when the Bible talks about destruction, it means hell. Many enter through it. Because they're feeding outside in the world. They're consuming what the world has to offer in terms of spirituality and eternal things, supposedly eternal things. But then Jesus said, narrow is the door that leads to life. And when the Bible talks about life, it's usually talking about heaven. And few find it. Few find it. You can't enter the church, and you can't enter heaven on your own terms. Only on the terms of Jesus. And the door, therefore, is narrow enough to keep you out if you want to enter on your own terms. Please don't ever do that. And if you know somebody who's trying to do that, please help them to understand it will not work. They might be part of the church on earth organizationally, but that's not how the body of Christ actually works. That's not how heaven works. On the flip side of the coin is that Jesus, the door to the church and the door to heaven, is wide enough to let everybody in, like I said, who is searching, who is hurting, who is injured, who is broken, who is seeking and searching and lost. He's big enough to let everybody in. See, there's a lot of people, because of our human nature, there's a lot of people who want to remake the church and they want to remake heaven to suit themselves. They want it to be what they want it to be. They want to get out of it what they want to get out of it. They want to put into it only what they want to put into it. And to them, Jesus, as the door, stands and says, repent and believe or stay out. But then there are the many who are damaged, and the many who are struggling, and the many who are yearning for eternity, for a new reality, for a new beginning, for a new life. And to them, Jesus, as the door stands open, and says, welcome. I love you. I have a place for you here. I will feed you. I will protect you. I will be with you. And when all is said and done, I will take you into my nearer presence forever. Most likely in your house, you have a door with a cross in it. We do in the parsonage. Em, can you pop that up? We don't have crosses in our doors because it's a parsonage, okay? Because it's a pastor's house. We have crosses in our doors. Do you see the cross in the door? That goes back to the time when carpenters used to make doors. And carpenters, Jesus was a carpenter. And Jesus said, I am the door. And Jesus died on the cross. And so carpenters would put crosses into doors, okay? We even have it in our closets. You might have it in your closets. You see a double cross? There's two crosses there, one on each half of the closet. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to let these doors in your house with crosses, hopefully you have at least one, remind you of this saying of Jesus, that I am the door. He is the door to the church. He is the door to heaven. And you are welcome and you are safe in the church, and you will be welcome and safe in heaven by repentance and faith. And that's how this works. That's how Jesus as the door works. And I would invite you to look at the cross in your doors, in your house, as a reminder, as a visual invitation for you to let go of some of your self-centered baggage. We all got it. I got it too. Everybody's got it. And to see the cross in that door as an invitation to trust the one who died on it. Because the one who died on it died for you, so that he can take you and keep you safe in his sheep pen, and ultimately bring you home to himself, where you can come and go and find pasture. And I would also invite you then, one last thing, to look at the door with the cross in your house, and to let it remind you to be grateful. Grateful that the door was open for you. Grateful that the door is open for you. And grateful that the door is open to all. Every single one, there is no exceptions, open to all who are searching, hurting, yearning, damaged, and wish to have a new life in a secure eternity, like yourself. The door was open for you, and it is open for all. Jesus is the door. Amen? Amen. Let's continue our service by as we listen to this.